And what I do there is I work on the next generation of spacecraft that will carry astronauts to the International Space Station and back down. Specifically, what I do is I'm a structural analyst, so I look at the, and I'm the kind of the gatekeeper of the computer model that we use to predict failures in the vehicle and due to aerodynamics and dynamics and all of these things. So I have to tell you, I have it's an incredible job, an awesome job, right? And on top of all of that, I have to tell you that in my time there, short has been, it's been extremely profitable for me. Just this past month, I was in California performing dynamic tests on our first prototype. So we have the 30,000-pound vehicle hanging from a 50-ton crane or something with sensors all over it, and we're exciting it and watching its dynamic response and making our computer model try to predict the same thing. And as I've been told by other engineers, this is an incredibly rare opportunity. These tests don't come around maybe once in 20 years. So I felt it was awesome to see that. Amazing. And we've got a lot of work ahead of us. A few months prior to that, I was actually given the NASA Space Flight Awareness Award for my leadership and innovation in the pursuance of human spaceflight. This is one of NASA's top honors, and I was probably the youngest person there by 15, 20 years. And actually, later after that, Boeing took that story and published an article on me that was seen by the entirety of the company. In 2015, I was awarded over $2,000 for my innovation in data processing and analysis by Boeing. That was an incredible honor. And then ultimately, man, to top it all off, over the past few years, I've been involved in a technical project that's outside of my normal work responsibilities that has resulted in quite a bit of fame, additional fame, for me across the Boeing enterprise. What I've worked on is now being used across the country at most major Boeing sites. So all this has taken place over the past 5 years. And so, as I said, I'm only 29. It would seem that I've accomplished incredible things. I tell you these things because I want to make these three certainties that much more clear, however dimly I'm aware of their truth, that much more clear. Simply, I deserve none of this, and I own none of it. There is nothing that I have done that has earned me these things. And most importantly, despite all of these things, all these ostensibly great accomplishments, the only reason I have for living is Christ. I can most definitely say throughout my life I've never wanted for anything, and I can only thank God for the parents that I've been given who have sacrificed so much for me. Regarding my faith, I made a profession at a young age, probably younger than 10 or somewhere around there. But I cannot say when I fully came into that faith, as God has and continues to evolve it so much since then, and continues to work in me as the good author that he is. I do come from a very polarized, divorced family. I have Christianity on my mother's side and fervent atheism on my father's side. And whether consciously or not, I think that has given my faith and my approach to it a very different kind of spin, as I've always had to come up with some way to justify my choice in following Christ, again, because my father is an avid unbeliever. And obviously this is my choice to follow Christ is obviously subservient to the fact that in his goodness he brought me to him, right? But I have to tell you that, you know, this search for justification became very true during my teenage years. As I looked around, I looked at what I was doing in high school, going through the classes and everything, and it just seemed that futility would dominate, at least from my perspective, what is a human experience. No matter what I did, how hard I tried, it seemed as though flipping a coin had more to do with a particular outcome than anything else. Nothing seemed to matter. And I came to the simple conclusion that I had simply no reason to live, if that were the case. I had no reason to try. And I can tell you that this led to beginnings of serious depression that I've had to deal with since then. But during that time, I was actually pointed to Ecclesiastes, of course, dealing with futility. And there I found an answer. After Solomon has completed his analysis of life, he says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, he says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." The whole duty of man. Not what I can accomplish or achieve, not my status, not my rank. I think this sentiment is also echoed in Job, when God, speaking of wisdom and understanding, and their respective definitions, says, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding." So I had been shown what mattered, what was important. I had gained purpose. But to be honest with you, I wish I had taken those truths more seriously, however well I knew them then. Because following this through my high school and college years, and even up to fairly recently, as my mentor, Jonathan Kaler, can tell you, have been times of great testing and trial for me. College, which I had such high hopes for, as I had wanted to be an academic and a scholar, proved to be the ground where God would do a tremendous amount of breaking. Undergraduate was a nightmare. I realized that these professors were not out for the benefit of society for the most part, that they cared little for the students or their maturity and their understanding. And then I pursued a graduate degree, which turned out to be one of the worst decisions I think I've ever made. I'm still not completely sure whether or not God wanted me there or not. I was put under what I can only assume is a schizophrenic, paranoid advisor who one minute is praising my worth or my work, and the next minute is calling me an idiot, degrading me, things like that. And then 3 months before my thesis is due, I come back from Christmas break. My apartment is overrun with bed bugs, so I have to throw a whole lot away. I had to live out of a garbage bag because everything has to be sealed and quarantined. I got into a major three-car car crash while driving a foreign exchange student back to her foster home. And to top it all off, I realized that all the data that I had collected for the past year and a half was wrong. Everything was wrong. Quite simply, gentlemen, my aims in life were dashed in front of me, despite my best efforts, and there was absolutely nothing I could do about it. And then there was my spiritual health over this period. Man, I've committed atrocities. There can be no doubt about that. I stand before you as a fornicator, a liar, a person of hate and malevolence, someone who does not deserve to live. And I knew it. Again, probably only in the least sense at that. I did not want to live anymore after all of this. I had no goals, no hope in achieving anything, because simply it had all been shattered right there in front of me. And I can tell you that the anger and frustration of my failures in academia and in my life are still things that God, in his goodness through men in this room, is healing me of today. But I can tell you the truth. It wasn't so long ago when I wept myself to sleep, crushed under that anger, depression, frustration and hatred, hating every fiber of my being that at times I wish God would strike me down and spare me my pain. But God was faithful where I had not been. In the middle of all that, I was reminded that I am not my own. As the word says, I've been bought with a price. How dare I hate what the master of the universe loves beyond my understanding? What the master owns and has envisioned before the beginning of time. I have no right to hate that. I am not my own, and thus I had been given the desire to live because God desired that I live. So here I am, man, standing before you on these two fundamental truths of obedience is my duty for life, my purpose for life, and God's love as my reason for life. God willing, I have a long way to go yet. My mentors and men in this room have taught me incredible lessons, and I owe so much to them. So God has a lot of authoring to do yet. But I think you can see, just given my recent history, he is already doing great and wonderful things. Thank you very much.